My cold, dead heart still beats for you. Written by Gimlet Sauer and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom: Harry Potter. Relationship: John Dawlish / Daphne Greengrass. Rating: mature. Archive warning: major character death. Additional tags: zombies, gore, body horror, graphic description of corpses, murder, horrors, tragedy.
I need to report a murder.
John looked up from his desk at the frightened-looking blonde girl standing over him.
A murder? John asked.
She nodded.
The front desk said I should talk to you.
He set down his quill and turned toward her.
Whose murder?
Mine,
she said, with all the seriousness in the world. John blinked.
Pardon?
I think someone murdered me.
John had to choke back a laugh and do his best to hide his smile because the girl looked like she might start crying at any moment.
You look plenty alive to me, sweetheart.
She cast her eyes down, then reached up to unzip her oversized hoodie. The shirt underneath was ragged and soaked through with blood. She gave one last nervous glance around the room, then lifted the hem of the shirt. The smell hit him before he even knew what he was looking at, and it took all of his effort not to retch right there on the carpet.
"Do you believe me now?"
she asked. John couldn't look away. She'd clearly been stabbed multiple times. Her flesh was raw and bloody, the tissue surrounding black and necrotic. Dark veins spread out from the wound. He forced himself to look back up at her face and cleared his throat.
"We need to get you to St. Mungo's," he said. She shook her head emphatically.
"No, I can't."
"Sweetheart, that's a nasty-looking wound. If you don't get medical attention—"
"No, you don't understand,"
she exclaimed. She dropped her shirt and stepped toward him. She grabbed his hand and pressed his palm flat against her chest. He tried to pull back, but she held him there. He met her eyes, startlingly blue and bloodshot all to hell. His breath caught.
"Do you feel it?"
she whispered, not taking her eyes from his.
"Feel what?" he whispered back.
"My heart,"
she continued, eyes welling with tears.
"It's not beating."
He pressed his hand firmer into her skin. He felt no heartbeat.
"I'm already dead,"
she whispered so softly he might have imagined it.
"I don't know how. I don't know what happened, but I need your help."
Slowly, halfway between terrified and disbelieving, John nodded. Her name was Daphne Greengrass, Sacred 28, wealthy, well-respected, barely 25. And she was dead. She'd been walking down a street in London when she was attacked from behind and knocked unconscious. She awoke in a field at dawn, the dying embers of a bonfire before her, covered in her own blood. She didn't know who attacked her. She didn't know what had happened. She had no heartbeat, no pulse, no natural breath. Her body temperature was fatally hypothermic. Her joints were stiff. Her eyes were so glassy it was a wonder she could even see. She couldn't feel any physical pain whatsoever. And the smell... if not for the fact that she was awake, lucid, moving around and talking to him, she would have been taken to the morgue for an autopsy. What had happened to this girl? John nicked her some clean clothes, wound her up in gauze like a mummy, then fled to DMLE with her in tow. He wanted to send her away, to force her to the hospital or at least send her home to rest, but she was the only witness to a potentially heinous crime, and he needed her if he had any hope of catching the sick fuck that had done this. She led him to where she'd woken up. The air still smelled like ash from the bonfire, and there was clear evidence of ritual magic. Dark ritual magic. There were pools of blood staining multiple areas, which suggested that Daphne wasn't the only victim. If that were so, where were the other bodies? Inferior attacks had been on the rise over the past weeks. Kidnappings, homicides, necromancy. Samhain was only a few days away. It had to be connected. As the day wore on, her legs eventually gave out altogether, and she fell. Rigor mortis was setting in.
John rushed to help her up. The skin of her palms was gauged back so deeply that the bone was exposed. The blue of her eyes had dulled to a soft gray when she looked up at him. John took off his coat and slipped it over her shoulders, the sleeves long enough to cover her hands. "We need to figure out why you're like this." She nodded, and he slid his arms under her legs and shoulders to pick her up. She nuzzled into him easily, and John was surprised to find his heart fluttering.
"I don't want to go home," she said.
John gave her a questioning look.
"I live with my family. I don't want them to see me like this."
"Do you have anywhere else you could go?" he asked. She stared off into space, her lower lip quivering, and shook her head. She looked so fragile, so broken. It pulled at John's heartstrings. He'd spent a single day with her, and already he was becoming attached. It was rule number one to keep a solid emotional distance from one's cases, and a rule John was personally excellent at. But he was failing. His heart fluttered, but his stomach rioted as the offer spilled from his lips unbridled. "You can stay with me." She looked up at him.
"I couldn't ask that of you."
"You aren't asking. I'm offering. You can help me research anyway." He gestured to the stack of books they'd just procured from a dark text shop in Nocturne Alley. "You shouldn't be alone." She looked down at her lap and nodded. When she looked up, she was smiling. John had never seen something so beautiful before in his life. They'd barely made it in the door of his flat when the nightly reports of inferior attacks started flooding in and John got called away. He left her there alone, against his better judgment, and headed back out for what would no doubt be a long, tedious night. It was nearly dawn when he finally made it home. Multiple Inferi sightings, 6 civilians dead, dozens hospitalized. The magical catastrophes people would be working well into midday. John didn't envy them. He entered his flat expecting to find Daphne asleep on the sofa, but she was still awake. She was sitting up, curled into the fetal position, with her arms wrapped around her legs. Her eyes were shadowy, sunken, and red-rimmed. She looked like death. John stopped in his tracks when she looked up at him.
"What's happened?"
She didn't speak, just leaned toward the open book in front of her and spun it around to face him. John approached, heart pounding. He sank into the armchair opposite and pulled the book forward.
"Third paragraph, second page," Daphne said.
John looked down where she indicated. "A living corpse is a phenomenon that occurs when an inferior is reanimated close enough to their death that their brains remain active and consciousness remains. The state is temporary, as the body will continue to deteriorate, despite reanimation, until the brain no longer has the integrity to maintain cognitive ability and the victim's mind joins its body in death. There is no known remedy, as true necromancy remains impossible."
"I'm going to die," she muttered.
John felt like his heart would crack in two.
"I hate to break it to you, sweetheart, but you're already dead," John said absently.
He slammed the book shut and pushed it away.
"I'm rotting from the inside out, and I'm conscious for it. I'm going to watch my body die while I'm still trapped inside it, and there's nothing I can do to stop it."
She choked a wretched sob and had to grip the cushion to keep from falling over.
"And what happens after that?" she wailed. "I'm an inferior. I'll kill people. Oh, God!"
She flung herself over the arm of the sofa and sobbed.
"I won't let that happen," John whispered.
She whips back up to glare at him. The whites of her eyes were solid red with pooling blood.
"Will you kill me then?"
she asked with a biting venom.
"Will you execute me? Cast fiend fire and watch as my bones melt? Will you be quick enough to do it before I eat you alive?"
Her words made his stomach turn. He tried to blink the images away, but it didn't work. Her shoulders sagged, as if all the energy had been sapped out of her all at once. Clumps of her hair were falling out, collecting in her lap. Her cheeks had sunken in, the bones of her skull jutting out from under her thin skin. Her eyes were more hollow than they had been before. It had already been a full day since she'd been murdered. A full day since some piece of shit dark wizard cursed her with dark magic. How long would her mind hold? I didn't think she would last much longer, based on how she looked already. Her time was running out. He got up and came to sit beside her. He gently touched her shoulder, and she fell into him, resting her head on his shoulder. Her gauze-wrapped hand fell to his thigh. It was cold, but it sent a fire into his skin. He was almost 50, nearly 25 years older than her, quite literally twice her age. She would never look at him twice under normal circumstances. Not that it mattered, because the girl was already dead. The beautiful face that he'd met that morning was fading, her body decomposing, her mind fraying. That was the only reason she was still there. The desperation that only comes with impending death. She would never give him the time of day otherwise. He was delusional to think she ever might, but he could pretend she was his, just for the night, even if it wasn't real. "You smell good," she said with her head resting on top his shoulder. He cleared his throat, willing his body to not have the response it was trying to have. "Cologne," he said sickly. She tilted her head, her nose running across the length of his neck. Her skin dragged across his rough stubble, but she didn't seem to mind it. Her lips touched his neck, and he shivered.
"I like it," she said, breathy and soft.
Her hand reached up and touched his other shoulder. He could feel the stiffness of it, how she couldn't move her joints anymore.
"I'm sorry we met."
"Don't be," he choked. "Don't ever apologize for that."
"I like to think..."
Her words were slow, barely audible. She was fading, quickly.
"We could have met under better circumstance.
"Shh," he cooed, gently running his hand over her hair. "It's okay." His vision blurred as tears filled his eyes. "It's okay. You don't have to."
"I can't feel my body anymore," she whispered.
Her hands had gone limp, falling to his side. Her head was dead weight against his shoulder. "It's okay." His voice cracked from the effort not to sob. She didn't respond. She didn't move a muscle. He shifted, looking down at her. Her eyes were still open, but a white film covered the irises. She was ghostly pale and completely unmoving. John's heart stuttered, and he lost his battle not to sob. His breath shook. His hands trembled. It was over. It was all over. She was gone. She was... Her finger twitched against his thigh. He looked down at her. Her expression hadn't changed, but her filmy eyes had turned up to look at him. Could she even see him? The hand on his thigh twitched again. "Daphne?" John asked. Her fingers curled like talons, and her nails dug into his thigh. Her upper lip curled. Her gums were black, her teeth protruded. Her chest rattled. She leaned toward him, teeth bared. "Daphne." The end.